Morning. Today's daf in Makos Chav Gimel. We are starting today at the Mishnah. There are two Mishnahs coming up on Chav Beis and Med Beis. We're starting the first one. Avar Aver Sheish Bashnei Lavim. So let's say a person violated an Avera where he's going to be subject to two separate Lavim. Amdu. So Omeid Echad Loke Upater. The imlav loke umisrapi v'chosav loke. So if with the appraisals we learned in yesterday's Mishnah, appraisal is done to see how many he can literally afford to take. So if his appraisal for the two lavim is that he can receive it, so then the Mishnah tells us that in fact he's going to get both. However, he's only able to sustain one of the two sets of malchus, so then he's going to get malchus for the first one, and then allow him time to heal, and then he'll get malchus for a second one as well. So at that time, the Gemara now quotes another brisa, enom denomed echel l'shnei lavim. Now, the brisa says very clearly is that you can't do one appraisal for two sets of lavim, but it sounds like from the brisa, you're going to need one appraisal for one lavim, another appraisal for another lavim, or if sheshes lo kasha. Hamda amdula arbin v'chada. So, Gemara says like this. If the appraisal was, let's say, for 41. Now, 41 is two more than 39. Okay, I know my math skills are really, you know, solid today. But if 41 is two more than 39. But two more than 39, that's not good. As we've discussed already in yesterday's daf, in order to receive malchus, you need something which is divisible by 3. So to be receiving 41, it's not one set of malchus, which is 39 plus another set of malchus, because 2 is not considered a set of malchus. The minimum for a set of malchus is going to be 3. So, ha'dam du la'abram v'tarte. However, if he was able to reappraise for 42, so that's good. Meaning, for him, it works out perfectly. Because he's chayav two sets of malchus. And so now, with the number 42, 42 actually represents one set of malchus and another set of malchus. So, even though that second set of malchus is going to be the smallest, but it is a denomination. It's a divisible by 3, one time. But still, it's divisible by 3, and so therefore, you're able to get two sets of malchus under those circumstances. The brisa was describing where he could only get 41, so 41, so unfortunately now, he'll get the full 39 for this one, and the next one, he'll have another appraisal as well.
What was the reason again for being...
Why does it have to be divisible by 3? Yeah. It's an excellent question. Okay, good. I don't know. The big number, I mean, the highest you can get is 39. So 39, I heard there's a significance, I don't have a source for this, I heard there's a significance for 39, and that's 13 times 3. Meaning in the 13 is the age of the bar mitzvah, bar mitzvah is when he's chayev. So basically it's when you're chayev first in onshim, and then multiply that number by 3, which is why, but again, I'm not, this is not the reason why, it's just, you know, it works out well numerically, but it's not a...
Could it be because the
destiny is there? Again, it could be, maybe, you know. I don't have a source, so I don't know.
How would he know ahead of time that he's able to withstand 41 lashes?
How do they know? They're doing a physical, and they're doing their best guess. I mean, I say, how do you know? I mean, I know. I'm bringing this to the mundane. How do you know somebody can play football? Meaning, they do a physical, and they give their best guess.
But the physical is so accurate to be able to.
I know. In other words. Right, correct. In other words, you're right. It's not a hard science. Meaning, you know, it's, you know, to the best, to the, you know, experience obviously is going to work in their favor, and you know, they'll do their best job. Keith the Malkano. So okay, and now we're on the mission Chav Beis, second mission on the Chav Beis and Beis, and this mission now is describing the actual process of Malka. So Keith the Malkano. So exactly how is this going to be done? So Kofei Shtei Yadav Al Amud. So his two hands are going to be tied to a pole. A pole probably is not the best description because it seems to be very wide. So it's some sort of beam, and he's got his two hands tied helach lehelach. Now they're tied to the two sides, so that basically now it's gonna be a little bit. I mean, his arm's gonna be a little bit spread out. V'chazan akinesis oches bevegadav, and then you have some sort of shamish, who's going to be taking his begadim, and. Basically tearing them off his body. Nikru, nikru, vim nifrimu, nifrimu. Mishnah describes how if it tears, it tears. If it shreds, it shreds. Achu megalas libo, because the point over here is that we want exposure of the heart. Meaning we want to, the makas have to come on the actual physical body itself. why they couldn't just simply undress him before tying him up. So my best guess is that this is part of the kalon. This is part of the embarrassment of receiving malchus. Malchus has to be degrading by definition. In fact, that's going to be a big theme of today's daf, the degradation of the malchus. And so the tearing of the clothing is part of a degrading process. And so my best guess is that even though functionally you could just simply take the clothing off beforehand, but part of degrading. In other words, but there's a process. Meaning, yes, of course. Of course, malchus itself is degrading, but the process itself also has other degrading aspects to it. So, excellent question. Other areas of halacha, so... Right, by the sota, right, her chest is going to get revealed. Over here, unclear. Unclear. At least, I don't know. Now, there's a stone right behind him. Chazan Knesset Somed Alav. And the Chazan Knesset, again, the word Chazan over here, not like we use it, right? We're not talking about the cantor getting up there. Although there's going to be somebody reading psukim, which the Gemara is going to discuss in just a moment. But that's chazan. Whenever the Mishnah uses the word chazan, it's talking about a gabbai. So chazan kesos omed alav ritzu biyado, and he's got a strap in his hand shel egel, and it's made up of a calf. Ukfula echel l'shnayim. Now it is folded over once to shem la'arba, and it's folded over a second time. Okay, like a pair of scissors. This is actually only folded over once, right? It's four strings folded over once, making eight. So this is one string folded over twice, making four. Okay. So the ushteiritzu shel chamor olos v'yardos bo. So the and on top of that, there's also ritzu shel chamor. There's also donkey hide as well. Why is there donkey hide included? So first of all, I could have asked the question even beforehand. Why is it cow hide coupled together with donkey hide? So stay tuned. Gemara is going to discuss and give ramazim for why that is. So the ushteiritzu shel chamor olos v'yardos bo yada. So in terms of the handle of the whip, so tefach, it is a tefach long, v'rach v'tefach, and it's a tefach wide. V'rosho apikreso. Now, I'm sorry, v'rosho magas, and I left out an important word, v'rosho magas apikreso. And basically what we want to do is we want the whip to be long enough so that when the whip finally cracks on the person, so it basically hits the area that we're going for, meaning, as we're going to see in just a moment, some of them is going to be done the front, some of them is going to be done the back. What we don't want the whip to do is to whip around. So basically, we want it to be long enough so that it lands on the area in which we're going for. Now, in terms of what we're going to do, so it's going to be a third in the front and two-thirds from the behind. Now, imagine he's getting 39. So that means 13 is going to go on the front side, and then 26 is going to go on the back side. But then, all we do is just simply adjust whatever the number ends up with. Again, it has to be a number divisible by 3. Now, this, by the way, could be a good reason why it has to be divisible by 3. But again, I don't know which is a horse and which is a cart. I don't know which number is pulling which number. So, you know, I could say the correlation. I don't know the causation. But the, if the number is, for example, 12... So then that means that, you know, 3 is going to go on one side. Four is going to go on one side, and 8 is going to go on the other side. 4 on the front side, 8 on the back side. Anyway, ve'ena makos lo ame v'lo yoshev ela muteh. And in terms of what his posture should be, so he shouldn't be standing, he should be sitting, he should be inclined. Shenemar v'hipilu ha-shofet. The shofet, the judge, is going to hipilo. Almost like cause him to fall. So in other words, he's in some sort of bent over state. When you hit him with one hand, with all your force. Okay, again, more details of that to come up in the Gemara. Now there's someone who's going to be reading the Psukim. The Gadol Shebelayanim is the one reading the Psukim. And the Psukim themselves we're going to see in just a moment. So Kore im lo sishmor lasos. So he's going to be reading from the end of Sefer Dvarim. The Pasuk reads in full, Im lo sish malasos. So the Mishnah is just giving excerpts of the Pasuk. But I'm reading the Pasuk in full. Im lo sish malasos es kol divrei HaTorah zos, ek suvim ha-sefer hazeh, li yiras Hashem nechba v'nara zes, Shem Elokecha, v'hifla Hashem es makoscha v'es makos. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do is he'll increase the number of makos that you receive, and the pasuk goes on to say, "Zarecha makos gedolz v'ne'emanim v'chalayim ra'im v'ne'emanim." Okay, So it's a pasuk that describes how they're going to receive makas. Now, kipshuta, by the way, the pasuk is not talking about the formal makas per se, meaning it's part of the tochacha, it's part of the rebuke that Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving the Jewish people. And kipshuta, the pasuk just simply means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be giving a lot of, not literal, but figurative lashes to the Jewish people. But the pasuk also can speak to the person who is actually receiving the makas. Now, it's going to take just a couple seconds to read the pasuk. You know, I did it in a couple seconds. And so now, let's say, the makos aren't yet done. So what do you do? So you turn to the chazan and you say, okay, hit it again. Meaning, well, I mean that here literally and figuratively. Right, correct. Right, the double entendre intended. Meaning, so we tell the chazan, okay, you got to start the pasuk again because there's more makos coming. And this is both a... This is both physical and audio, meaning he's getting hit with multiple senses, right? He's getting actually physically lashed, and at the same time, he's also hearing the pasuk while he's being lashed. The Oshmartim Asdivar Ebris Azos, another pasuk that he reads also from the end of Sefer Dvarim. So, V'chosem V'hu Rachum Yichaper Avon, V'chosel L'chel Samikra. And also reading the pasuk V'hu Rachum, that's pasuk in Tehillim. And then he goes to L'chel Samikra, he goes back to the pasukim, until the makos is completed. It's got 13 words in it. Oh, very good. Okay, so it works out well in terms of the numbers. The imeis tachas yadal pater. Now, if the Rachmana Litzlan, the person dies, okay, and Alex, this doesn't answer your question. In fact, it just exacerbates it. But let's say the physical was done and the assessment was done and they figured that he can handle this many and he couldn't. And he died. So the one who's actually given the makos, he's going to be pater from galus. He's not going to go into exile. We discussed this point earlier. He is right now asuk b'mitzvah. He's doing what was instructed of him to do. So this is not a shogeg. However, hosif lo od ritzua achas so umeis harizigola al yado. So, but let's say he was supposed to give. I'm just throwing out numbers. Let's say he was supposed to give 26. And instead of giving 26, he added another number. So now, by the way, I chose poorly in terms of my numbers. Sorry. Okay. It has to be divisible by 3. Okay, so let's say he gave 27. And then as he was giving 27 by accident, he added another number and he gave 28. So now what? So now he's going to have to go into galus, meaning that's now shogeg. Meaning for the 27, that was he was mitzvah to do. If he would have died within the 27, he wouldn't have gone to the galus. But now that he gave 28, so that is a careless mistake, and for such a careless mistake, he's now going to go into galus. Now, mind you, by the way, there really are two people here at fault. Meaning because we remember in the earlier part of the mission, we described how one person's hitting and the other person's counting. So who is right now going to be receiving the blame? The one who's hitting or the one who's counting? In other words, it could be that the one who's counting is off. So it's just, I'm throwing it out there that it's not super clear cut who exactly is the shogeg and who exactly is going to be being sent into galus. But certainly somebody will. Niskalko bein beri bein b'mayim pater Rav Yehuda Amar ha'ish beri ve'ish b'mayim. During the malchus process, let's say they soil themselves. They soil themselves or they lose control of their bladder. So the Mishnah brings down a machlokus in terms of what's going to create a patur, meaning it will create an exemption. As I mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah, the process over here, the procedure, is degrading by design, meaning degrading by design. But basically now, if he lost his control of his bowels, so at that point in time now, if we have reached the point of degradation, which now means that he doesn't have to receive any more malchus. So, let me present this clear. The Mishnah brings down a machlokus between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda, exactly what he has to lose, which function does he have to lose in order for him to now receive the patur. According to the Tanakhama, if it's either his bowels or his bladder, so that's it. In other words, that creates a degradation. According to Rav Yehuda, a woman has, you know, human dignity, more self-respect. And so for a woman, if she just lost control of her bladder, that would be enough to create an exemption. For a man, however, according to Rav Yehuda, so no. In other words, he has to lose control of his bowels. Otherwise, he's not yet going to be exonerated. Yes, Eddie. Okay. My time. Okay, we start with the Gemara. We're on the very top of Chav Gimel Amid Aleph. The Gemara now starts off the discussion. One of the things we mentioned in the Mishnah is that his hands get tied up and the clothing gets torn. So my time mishum v'nikla chichalenecha. Okay, I read the full pasuk, but the Gemara just quotes the words v'nikla. But in other words, but he needs to be degraded, and part of that is the tearing of the clothing. I'm Rav Sheshit mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah minan l'ritzua shehi shel egel. The lash that we use is going to be made up of cowhide. Dichsiv. The pasuk says arbi miakenu usmichle lo sachsum shor b'dishol. So smichus parshios in parshas kiseitze, you're going to find next to one another the psukim of him being hit by Beis Din, Malkus, and immediately next to it, next pasuk, lo sachtum shabadisha, that you're not allowed to muzzle an animal as it is threshing. And so the animal here in question that's being described is a shore, it's an ox. Okay, an ox, I understand, is older than an eagle, but the idea over here is that the smichus parshios creates the halacha that when you hit him with the hide of a cow. Right? In this case, an eagle, a young one. Amrav Sheshit Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah Minan Liyavam Shenafla Lifnei Mukashchin She'in Chosmin Osa. Another halacha that is generated based on the Smichus Parshios is the following. Let's say you have a Yavama who now is a candidate for Yibum. And as we've discussed in the entire Masechta, the candidacy for Yibum is not a shidduch that's made by people, but it's a shidduch made by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, one would imagine that if the shidduch is made by Kadosh Baruch Hu, that means it's always going to be perfect. It's not always going to be perfect. Okay, and Kadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom, sometimes creates situations where it's an imperfect match between Yavam and Yavama. And let's say the Yavam happens to be a Mukashchen. So he has terrible blisters, terrible boils, and the Yavama now, who just lost her husband, and now her brother-in-law is a Mukashchen, so she would like to take a pass on this on this Yibam opportunity, which is perfectly understandable. Not only is it perfectly understandable, what the Gemara now is going to quote is a Smichus Parshios that tells us that we do not force her to do the mitzvah of Yibam. Meaning, if under normal circumstances, now I say this, it's a little bit indelicate, but it's true, and just, you know, present the halachic kipshuto. If in a perfect situation, perfect. If in a tolerable situation where the Yavam is eligible and she's eligible, and it's basically a match. So under those circumstances, so the halacha is that he can do the mitzvah of Yibum. And again, I'm just saying the halacha kipshuto, even if it's bal karcha, even if she doesn't want to get married. But in other words, but he can do the mitzvah of Yibum. However, as we're learning now together, if let's say he's a mukashchin, now it's not clear exactly what the threshold is in order for her to basically be able to take a pass. Meaning the only example that the Gemara gives us is that he's a mukashchin. Okay, which means that he's physically repugnant. So under those circumstances, we will allow her to take a pass. In fact, we're not chosim her. We don't quote unquote muzzle her. Dichsiv lo sachsum shor b'disho v'smichle ki yeshu achim yachdav. So again, smichus parsha. The parsha of lo sachsum comes immediately before the parsha of Yavama. It's the smichus parshios is on both sides. Meaning Malkus is on one side of lo sachsum shor b'disho, and Yibum is on the other side. So it's two different smichus parshios. V'amrav sheshes mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah kol mevatzus moadim ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. Someone who degrades moed. Now moed over here most probably is talking about cholam moed. The Rivan over here says that's talking about cholam moed. So anyone who degrades cholam moed is as if he is serving idolatry. Dichsiv Elohei masecha lo sa'aselach usmichle escha gamatzos tishmor. So another smichus parshios that talks about Bizuei Moadim. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos is very similar to what we just learned now. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos in the third perek says that a person who is mevazes moados ein lo chelek olam haba doesn't receive a portion of the world to come. So it certainly doesn't. It's not against our Gemara. In fact, it's complementary. Meaning our Gemara describes it as being an oved avodah zarah. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos describes it as being someone who doesn't have a chelek olam haba. You can easily imagine that those basic ideas are synonymous with one another. So someone who says Lashon Hara, who listens to Lashon Hara, or someone who testifies falsely, so he deserves to be thrown to the dogs. Again, more speaks Parshios and Parshios Mishpatim, where the Torah talks about what do you do with a treifa? If you have an animal which is a treifa that you and I can't eat, so we give it to the dog. The Torah's instructions is to give it to the dog. And right next to it is the pasuk of, don't spread out bad reports. meaning that if you are saying Lashon Hara, meaning not edus, not testimony, but you're saying Lashon Hara, you're hearing Lashon Hara, or you're falsely testifying. So under those circumstances, kari beinami lo sasi. So not only are you not allowed to receive, but you're not allowed to give, meaning you can't hear Lashon Hara, and you can't say over Lashon Hara as well. Shtei ritzuos, back to the topic of the Mishnah, we're talking about the lashes. Tana shel chamor. So in the Braisa, so it says that they were constructed from the hide of a donkey. Kididarish, Kididarish Galila. So there was a certain Tamachacham who was from the Galil, and Aled Rav Chista, he said regarding Rav Chista, Yada Shokonev Chamor Avos Ba'alav. Yisrael lo Yada. So from the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu, Chazon Yeshayahu, right? We lay it once a year, right before Tisha B'Av. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yavo Mishemakir Avos Ba'alav V'Yipare Mimisheino Makir Avos Ba'alav. You read the opening psukim of Sefer Yeshayahu. This is the third pasuk of the first parak of Yeshayahu. So the Navi tells the Jewish people, you know, an ox knows its owner, and a donkey knows the trough in which he's eating from, and he knows the trough in which he's eating from. You, on the other hand, you, the Jewish people, like you act as if you don't know who your master is. Okay. So in other words, so now the drush over here is that, so we take the, you know, there are two animals mentioned in this pasuk, the shur and the chamor. So we take the hide of the chamor, and basically it's a reminder to the one who's getting makos, right? The chamor knows whose trow he's eating from. You, on the other hand, you're behaving as if you don't know who your master is. Am Rabbi Shema Mina, kol chad v'chad l'fum gabe avdinalei. I'm sorry, first the heading. Yada tefach. So what is the dimensions of the whip, the length of the handles of tefach, the width of the handles of tefach? So basically, you know, good to hold on to. And in terms of how long it's going to be the whip, so that it hits the front of his body as you're whipping. So I'm Rabbi Yishma Menachocha v'chalufum gabi avdinalei. So basically, it's going to be custom fit, custom tailor for everyone getting makos. So you have a smaller guy getting makos, so the whip is going to be smaller. A larger guy getting makos, the whip is going to be larger. So Amalei Rava Im Kain. Now officially Ritzuos Tuvos. So Rava says to his Chavrusa Baye, so what does that mean? That when you go to Beis Din, they're going to have multiple whips. So basically you're looking down the row and on the wall of the Beis Din, and you have like a dozen whips hanging. You know, each one of them custom tailored, custom sized. And basically Rava says that's implausible, meaning that they're going to have so many whips. So Ella Marava Avakta, so Islay, Kibay Mikterbe, Kibay Marpebe. So the Gemara says, no, the whip has a knot in it, and sometimes what you can do is you can knot it up to shorten it. You can unknot in order to lengthen it. So no, it's adjustable. That's all. Okay, Malkan Oso. So back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah described how he's going to be receiving a Malkus, a third on the front and two thirds on the back. Manan immediately, where the Gemara says, where does this come from? Amar Rav Kana, Amar Kra, v'yipilo ha'shofet v'yikolof anav k'dei rishaso b'mispar. So from the pasuk of l'fun of k'dei rishaso, in front of him, commensurate to, so the Gemara now darshins, risha achas milafanav, and shei rishayis me'acharav. So one portion, or one wickedness in the front, corresponding to two in the back. Now, how exactly did we get to this ratio? So that's not perfectly clear. Meaning, certainly you get from the pasuk of Kidei Rishaso, you're giving him something in the front, meaning Lifan of Kidei Rishaso. So why should it be a ratio 1 to 2? My best guess would be that, again, we don't know what number it is, and Tafasta Meru below Tafasta. We have a general rule that we don't know what the number is. We know that the number in the back is going to be more than the number in the front. How much more? So we always take the most conservative approach. So that's, you know, my best guess in terms of how we get a ratio of 2 to 1. Okay, so that's right. So that's three. Okay, could be. Right. Ein Malkin Oso. We talk about the position of the person getting lashes, so he's not sitting, he's not standing, but he's hunched over. It seems like it's the same position, it's just a question of the trajectory of the whipper, meaning he'll just simply... In other words, it doesn't seem like he gets rolled over. It sounds like it's, again, I've never seen it. So, and I don't know anyone who has either, so we're all good. So we're all working with, you know, none of us have the PowerPoint presentation. But my best guess is that he is tied to the pole, you know, like kind of like on a diagonal, some sort of incline. And then for the front, they aim for the front and for the back. They aim on the back. That's my best guess. So ein malkin oso amar of chisam rav yochanan minayin l'ritzur shihi much pelas. How do I know that the whip has to be folded over? Shenemar vihi pilo, and basically vihi pilo is very similar to the word kefal, right? Kefal means double, or in this case, doubled over. Admittedly, by the way, it's not the same word. In other words, vihi pilo is missing the chaf. So it is a drush, but the Gemara darshins it. Vahami by lelegufa, the Gemara says now, haven't we already used that pasuk? So the Gemara says, im kein lichtov krav yatehu, my hi pilo shema min atarte. So if we just wanted to just simply say that he's going to be bent over on an incline, so the Torah could have just used the word yatehu. By virtue of the fact that it says hi pilo, it now teaches us two halachas. One, that he's going to be bent over, not sitting, not standing. And two, is that we're going to take the whip and kefil, and we're going to double it over. Vahamake makeh biyado. Now the makkah is going to hit him with one hand. Rabbanan ein ma'amidim chazanim ela chaseri koach v'yaseri mada. Okay, so Basin's going to be sending out for a job description. Basically, here's what we want: smart, weak people. Okay, smart and weak, meaning for the people who are going to be giving the makkah. So we want them to be smart. Now, smart over here, in other words, not geniuses, but in other words, you know how to count. Okay, so and we want them to be weak as well, because although on one hand, we have an obligation to give malchus, but of course, with rachmanus. And rachmanus, in other words, the guy you see, you're about to get whipped, and you see the guy is like, built like an ox, and he's going to whip you, and that's not going to be pleasant. And none of this is pleasant, but at least the way we can minimize it is having the person who's giving the malchus be somewhat of a weaker individual. And so, according to the opinion of the Tanakhama, we're actually looking for someone who is chaseri koach, someone who's weak. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu chaseri koach v'yaseri koach. So, I'm sorry, let me read that better. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu chaseri mada v'yaseri koach. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, in terms of candidacy, who we're going to hire for the job of giving malchus. So, even if he's not the most intelligent person, and even if he's the strongest person, so that's also okay. Meaning, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're not looking for that individual, but if that's a guy right now who we have to give the malchus, that's fine. So I'm Rava Kavasi de Rabbi Yehuda Mistaber. Now Rava makes a comment and says, look, of the two positions we just learned, I think Rabbi Yehuda seems to be more reasonable, more logical. Dichsiv, because remember the pasuk says, Lo Yosef Pen Yosef. And what happens is that the Gabbai has to be extraordinarily careful and supervise and oversee that the person who's giving the malchus is not going to exceed the number that he was told to give. Now here, by virtue of the fact that the Torah says to the Chazan, to the Gadol Shebedayanim, supervise the whole process. So it sounds like the person who's giving Malchus is not the smartest guy in the world. So but according to the Tanakhama, where the person that we're hiring for the one who's giving the Malchus is someone who's highly intelligent, so he needs supervising? The Gemara answers beautifully, V'rabanan, ein mizarzin ela mizuras. Yeah. In other words, even if the guy's smart, in other words, supervising, we all need supervising, right? Supervising is a good thing, and it's actually better and easier to supervise someone who is smart and knows how to be supervised. So Gemara says, yeah, there's something to be said about supervising even if the person's smart. Tana kishu magbia b'shtei, yadav kishu make, maka b'yado achas, the Gemara here quotes a Brisa. The Brisa gives a description of when the guy is raising his hands to give the Malchus, so you raise it with two hands. However, when coming down, come down with only one, but don't come down with two. Now, does that make it better or worse? Does that make it easier or lighter? It's not perfectly clear from the Gemara. The Gemara just simply describes how when you do so, so it'll be coming from him. Right? The Gemara's language is Mididei. It's coming from him. It sounds like from the Gemara, I'm not totally clear about this. Sounds like it means it's going to be I was just going to say better. It's going to be like a harsher, it's going to be a harsher lash if it's coming directly from him. Meaning with the two hands, you're kind of distributing the blow. But if it's coming down with one hand, so it's going to be harder. Yeah, right. And that, I'm also confused because previously we were looking for somebody who's weak. And now the Gemara says, but when he comes down, make sure he comes down with full force. So yeah, I'm also a little bit confused in terms of like a theme that we're trying to present over here. Okay. Hakori Kore Tan Rabbana Gazushabadayam Kore. Who's reading the Pasuk? So the number one member of the basin is going to be reading the Pasukim, Sheni Mone. So the number two Dayan is going to be the one doing the counting. Hashlishi Omer Hakeu. And the third one is going to give the actual instruction hit. So you have three people who are like the maestros of this entire event. One's reading Pesukim, one is counting, the other one actually says hit. So Bizman Shemakim Maruba Marich, or Bizman Shemakim Muat is Kab Mekatzer. Now for the one reading the Pesukim, so what he should try to do is, in other words, and now I'll make the joke, but like Chazanus, meaning, and with the double entendre in mind, meaning that on one hand, in other words, if you know this is going to be a, 39 Makos, and this will take some time, so you should be reading the Pesukim slowly. with Chazanus. And if, let's say, it's going to be 3 Malkus, 6 Malkus, it's the short amount of Malkus, so then, quick. Right, pick up the pace. Now, the Gemara is bothered because our Mishnah says, what happens if he finishes the Pesukim? So the Mishnah described, you just go back to the beginning, you start again. And so it seems to be a little bit at odds with the Brice we just learned together, because the Brice we just learned together says that what he really should try to do is coordinate so that the Pesukim go one round and end with the end of the Makos. And the Gemara asks us as a question. The Mishnah describes how you're going back to the beginning. So the Gemara says, no. Mitzvah letzamtzeim and ve'ilo tzimtzeim chozol letchilas hamikra. So very simple, says the Gemara. Look, the best thing to do is have the Chazan finish the Pesukim with the Makos. So again, you see how the Makos are going. You see how the Pesukim are going, and you should try to coordinate. If, however, you get to the end of the Pesukim and there are more Makos to go, so you start again from the beginning. So, lechatchila be mitzamtzeim and b'dieved. If you have to review, you'll repeat the Pesukim. Tan Rabbanan. Continuing the Gemara, the Makaraba, ein li ela Makaraba. Makamotas minayin. Now, the one who's giving the Makos can't give any more Makos than prescribed, based on the assessment. So the Torah says, and don't give him many more makos than he deserves. It sounds like from the Torah that just a couple more is okay, even one more is okay, but we know, of course, it's not true. Me nayin, how do I know that that's not true? Tamalamar, lo Yosef. Because the Torah says with absolute clarity that you can't add even one more than what was assessed that he received. So im kein ma tamalamar makaraba. So li made al rishon hashem makaraba. So in other words, no. The words makaraba is not talking about the extra. In terms of extra, even one more is a violation of the Torah. What the Torah is teaching us with makaraba is for the ones that you do hit, so make him count. Okay? Which, again, goes back to the Gemara that we just did a moment ago, in terms of when you come down with one arm. Meaning, make him count. But after that, that's it. He's done. Tan Rabbanan echad ish ve'echad isha berei. Okay? We are now talking about losing control of either his bladder or his stool and of his bowels. And as a result of that, now receiving the necessary degradation where now we can conclude, even though he hasn't received all the malchus. The Braisa describes that Echadish ve'Echadisha berei v'lo b'mayim div Reb Meir. So in this Braisa now we have actually three opinions. Opinion number one is Reb Meir, is that losing control of your bladder it does not create a pitur. It's only losing control of your bowels, and that's true for both men and women. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha'ish berei, v'isha b'mayim. Rabbi Yehuda's position is that when it comes to a man, for him to have a pitur, he has to lose control of his bowels, not the bladder is not enough. And for a woman, even just lost control of her bladder would be enough. And v'chachamim Omer, mechadish v'chadisha, ben berei, ben b'mayim. And according to the Chachamim, loss of any control of either bladder or bowels will create a patur. Okay, so in the Brisa we have three opinions. In our Mishnah, we only had two opinions. But the Brisa introduces us to a third opinion. Now, the Gemara is bothered because in the Brisa we have Rabbi Yehuda saying that for both men and women, loss of control of the bowel creates a patur. It sounds like only loss of control of the bowel. Meanwhile, in the Brisa we just learned together, when it comes to a woman, lost control of her bladder also will create a patur. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Shneim Shavim Berei. No, you misunderstood the Braisa. What the Braisa meant simply is that, all Rav Yehuda says, is that here's where men and women are equal, in that if they lose control of the bowel, so then they're going to get patur. But on top of that, a woman who loses control of her bladder also will have a patur as well. Amar Shmuel, kaftuhu, viratz mi beis impatur. Okay. Shmuel gives an interesting patur, not related to the loss of control of bladder or bowel, but let's say as follows. Let's say you tie the person up, and somehow he's able to break the strings, and he runs away. Okay? So patur. That creates another patur. Meaning the idea that he already got tied up, and the fact that he had to flee, so now that creates nikla, that creates a degradation, and so therefore that creates a patur. Meitzvei. Kala. So let's say, kala over here is the Gemara's nice way of describing loss of either bowels or bladder. So bain b'rishona, bain b'shniya, pochenoso. Whether it was with the first maka that was given or with the second maka that was given, so that creates a patur. Nifsika ritsua. If, however, the strap breaks, so b'shniya pochenoso, b'rishona ain pochenoso. So if we're already up to the second maka, so okay, so we have a patur. In other words, the fact that the strap broke and we already started the maka's process, okay, right? You've been degraded and the strap broke. However, if we didn't start the malchus yet, so then he doesn't have a patur. So amai leve karat, so the Gemara says, so I don't understand. Meaning, what did Shmuel just teach us? That if while administering the malchus, so we tied him up to the post, the strings broke, and now he ran, even before any malchus was administered, so that creates a patur. So over here, so I'm hitting him with a whip, so if this is now the second time, meaning I already hit him once, so that and the whip breaks, so then patur. But certainly sounds like very clearly that if I didn't hit him at all, so then and the whip breaks, he's not yet patur. We'll just say to him, hold on 1 second, let's get a new whip, and we'll start anew. But how is that different than Shmuel? Shmuel said that even before anything started, if he runs away, in other words, the strap breaks, not the strap meaning the whip, but the strings, the ropes that were tied him to the pole broke. And he ran away, so he's going to have a patur even before malchus were administered. So the Gemara says, hasam ratz, ha chalo ratz. So the Gemara says, yeah, but previously, in Shmuel's patur, he also had to flee. The fleeing is part of the nikla, it's part of the degradation, and that will create the patur. Tanu Rabbanan, finishing up the discussion, amduhu le chishiyilke kale. So, if let's say there was an assessment that as he's going to get malchus, he's going to lose control of either his bowels or his bladder. So, potrin oso. So then we give him a patur and we're not going to give him malchus. Meaning, now, how this assessment is done, Alex, if you were bothered by the previous assessment, I'm not sure how such an assessment actually is done. Maybe he has a history. I'm totally unclear. But
assuming that he made.
Okay, so right. In other words, but they have an assessment that he's going to lose his bowels when he gets hit, so that creates a patur. However, lechishiyetsa mibezin kala. So, however, if let's say upon exiting Bezin, in other words, but he hasn't yet even been brought in for the malchus, so then he loses control of his bowels or his bladder. So malchusoso. So in other words, we haven't started the malchus process. So therefore, this doesn't create a patur. Or let's say he even loses control of his bowels or bladder, but before the malchus was actually administered, malchus oso. Again, the malchus process hasn't started yet, so therefore it doesn't get a patur. Shenemar vihikau vinikla. Meaning that the malchus process has to begin. Then he loses control of his either bladder or bowels, and that creates the kilon, the degradation. And if, let's say, in Beis Din came up with the ruling, Beis Din said, look, you're going to get malchus, and then he loses control of his bladder or his bowels, so he's not going to receive the patur because we have to start the malchus process in order for the patur to actually kick in.
There's two benefits to that. Right.
It is a strange patur, admittedly. Okay, so ending that sequence of the Mishnah, as we start now the next Mishnah, we're in Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of the Amud, the Mishnah. Kol chayvei krisa shelaku niftaru yidei krisa san. Okay, now, you have chayvei krisus that get malchus. Again, with this part, let me make this part really clear. There are many yisurim in the Torah that one is subject to, eligible for malchus. Okay? I don't know the exact number. Meaning, here's a starting point. There are 365 lav in the Torah. So of the 365, a number of them are going to get malchus. Remember all the rules that we discussed. It has to be a lav, sheish b'maisa. It has to be a lav with no nita kaseh, with no corrective measure to it. Okay, so it does whittle it down. The exact number in terms of the number of Yisurim in the Torah that one's going to get malchus for, so I assume it's a larger number. It's somewhere between, yeah, I'll give you a range. It's somewhere between 34 and 365. Okay, okay. I know that's not super helpful, but okay, it's in that window. Of the Yisurim in the Torah, you're going to get malchus. There also is a kari's penalty. Now here I can give you a hard number, and that is 34. Meaning the first Mishnah in Krisus tells us that there are 36 averes in the Torah. One is going to be eligible for kares if he violates it intentionally. Of those 36, knock off two of them because they're mitzvah seseh, the positive commandments. One is Mila, and the other is Karban Pesach. So those are not in this discussion. 34 lavim in the Torah where it is a lav coupled with kares if done intentionally. What our Mishnah is telling us is that for those 34, once you receive Malkus, if and once you receive Malkus, so now that's it, Karis is now taken off the record. Now, when I say Karis is taken off the record, meaning down here we can only handle Malkus, meaning that's what we're in charge of over here. But in other words, once we give Malkus down here, in Shemayim, so the Karis is taken off. Shenemar, and the Mishnah tells us, and how do I know that? Because the Pasuk says, V'nikla, Achicha le'inecha. So kishalaka hareka ka'achicha. Once Malkus is administered, so now he is totally like your brother, meaning divrei Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel, and so therefore that is basically brought back into the reservation. Karis means to be cut off. You're off the reservation, and so once he's given Malkus, he's achicha. He's back on the reservation. I'm Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel ma. When a person violates an avera, so his nefesh is taken away from him, meaning kares. So we have this general idea that mita tova is greater than mita peronios. So for the avera that one violates, he's going to lose his nefesh. Imagine what kind of nefesh he's receiving for doing a mitzvah. Rabbi Shimon Omer. The continuing in the Mishnah, mimakomo hulamad. So, in other words, we don't have to go to any other parsha. We can learn it from this parsha itself. Shenemar v'nichrusu anefashos haosos. It says that anyone who does the avera will have his nefesh removed, and the omer. And then it goes on to say, asher yaseh osam adam v'chay bahem. But meanwhile, if you do the mitzvah, so then you're going to live by them. So hakol yoshev lo aver aver nosan lo schar ka osei mitzvah. In other words, just simply the abstention of doing an avera is going to be tantamount to receiving the schar of a mitzvah. Right? I'm always curious about this. Meaning, yesterday I successfully went through the day without murdering somebody. Okay, I'm very happy to report. So in other words, I'll only know after 120. And I teach in high school. That's right. That's an excellent point. Right. So, and I didn't murder anyone yesterday. So, in other words, what kind of schar mitzvah am I going to get for that? In other words, is it only when the opportunity presents itself and then I abstain, or just simply making it through a day without murdering somebody? So, from the Mishnah, admittedly, I mean, it's not the answer. Okay, again, I'll only know after 120. But from the Mishnah, it seems pretty clear that there's something to be said of receiving schar mitzvah for not doing an avera. And again, I'm not sure if I'm right, but it sounds like from the Mishnah, even if the opportunity didn't present itself, could be. Okay, Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi Omer, Harehu Omer, Rach Chazak Levatil Achol Adam Ki Adam Hu Anefesh. So Uma Im Adam Shenafsho Shadam Chatzami Menem Mekabel Schar. So Gezov Arai Shenafsho Shadam Etzav Lehem Machmadasan. Haporsh Mehem Al Achaz Kama Vekama Shizko Lol Dorosav Lol Doros Dorosav Atzav Kol Al Doros. So Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi Rashi brings this down in Chumash. So it says, look, the Torah says, be strong and don't eat blood. Now this is the kind of thing where almost unanimously, I know every, you know, it's not, I can't say, I can't say it for everybody, but most everybody, no one has the Yetzer Hara to drink blood. Okay, I certainly can speak for myself, right? Not tempted. So the Gemara says, now for that, the Torah says that you're fulfilling a mitzvah for something which we don't even have a Yetzer Hara for. So how much more, says the Mishnah, imagine for an avera that a person has the Yetzer Hara for and he abstains from that, how much more so is he going to be receiving schar? Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, no, this is not the end of the daf, although we are approaching the end of the daf, I know, like Pavlovian dogs now. We're all going to stand and say Kaddish. So Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzak Hashem Baruch Hu L'zak Yisrael L'fich Achir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenamar, Hashem Chafetz Laman Tziko Yekdot Rav Yadir. The last mission of Malkus, the last point of Malkus, is that Akash Baruch Hu gave us a lot of mitzvos. And he gave us a lot of mitzvos so that we would have schar. So Hashem Chafetz Laman Tziko, Akash Baruch Hu wants us for our tzidkus, and so therefore gives us a prolific number of mitzvahs in order for us to do. Right? 613 is a lot of mitzvahs, right? And why so many mitzvahs? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to have schar. The Rambam over here, Rambam Perush Mishnah, so I'd say it's more famous. But the Rambam Perush Mishnah over here says, why is there such a proliferation of mitzvahs? Because the Rambam writes, it's better to read the Rambam inside. Meaning sometimes the Rambam is misquoted. I've heard this Rambam being misquoted. I've heard people butcher this Rambam. So so therefore I'm not reading it inside, but I strongly encourage you to read it inside. The Rambam says that for all the mitzvahs that are out there, we're going to do one of them right. Okay, meaning, right? This is right. Meaning that we are obligated to do all of them, and to the best of our ability, we should do all of them. We're required. We're bound to do all of them. In other words, we're just going to be good at one of them. Meaning, when I say good, I mean one of them we're going to hit perfectly. And so not every one of us is the same. We're all different. And we all have our strengths and we all have our weaknesses. And so with the Torah giving the proliferation of mitzvos, so one of those mitzvos is really going to speak to us individually. And so for one of those mitzvos, we're going to get them right. Again, we're still obligated to do all the other ones. But in other words, one of them is really going to resonate with us. And that's the way the Rambam understands the mission over here. Powerful idea of the Rambam. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Alokin. I'm sorry. Chalukin Alav Chaver Shav Rabbi Chanan Ben Gamliel. Now, Rabbi Chanan Ben Gamliel says that once you receive Malkus, that's it. You're going to get a pass on Kares. Now, is that a Davar Muskam? Is that something which is agreed to by everyone? So the Gemara says no. So I'm sorry. Rabbi Yochanan says no. So the Gemara says, Amar Avada Ba'avar, Amar Be'rav Tanina. What do you mean? It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah Megillah, Ein Ben Shabbos Yom Kippurim, Ella, Shezeh, Zdona Bi De'adam, Vizeh, Zdona Bi Karis. So the Mishnah in Megillah tells us the Ein Bains, right? At the end of the first parak over there. There's basically no difference between this and this except this. Okay? Subtle differences between various mitzvahs. Shabbos and Yom Kippur, they're basically the same with one notable difference. For Shabbos, intentional violation of Shabbos results in Mises Beis Din. When it comes to Yom Kippur, intentional violation, it's not Mises Beis Din, but Kares. Now, Im Isa. Now, if we were to follow the position of Rabbi Hananya of our Mishnah, that once you receive Malkus, you don't get kares. So Adamu. So that means then that both Shabbos and Yom Kippur are corporal punishments, and so therefore it's not different than one another. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Amar Hamani, Rabbi Yitzchak Hid Amar Malkus bechayv krisus leika. Detani Rabbi Yitzchak Amar chayv krisus bechlal haliv v'lam yatzak kares b'achoso laduna bekares v'lo b'malkus. So one answer, says the Gemara, is that that Mishnah Megillah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak. And you know that according to Rabbi Yitzchak, when there is Kares, there is no Malkus. Okay, so in that case, then we should just read the Mishnah Kipshuto, that what's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur? Shabbos, it's corporal punishment. And Yom Kippur, assuming that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yitzchak, there's no corporal punishment. That's one way to read the Mishnah. So Ravashi Amar Filotim Rabban, and Ravashi says, no, you don't have to say that. You can even say that the Mishnah over there is following Shita's Chachamim, which is the accepted Shita, that even when there's Karis, there's also Malkus. And how do you read the Mishnah? It's very simple. Zeh Iker Zdona B'dei Adam, V'zeh Iker Zdona B'dei Shemayim. The Mishnah over there is just talking about fundamentally. Shabbos fundamentally is a corporal punishment, meaning Mises Beis Din. Yom Kippur fundamentally is Karis. Yes, it's true. You could also receive Malkus. But from a fundamental standpoint, It's really a Kari's penalty. That's how you can read the Mishnah over there. Very simple. Okay, we'll start tomorrow with Amar of Adar Bar Ava, and Yisrael Hashem tomorrow. We finish the Masechta.